Let's talk to Buster Olney from ESPN. He joins us on the Truist Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Buster, always a pleasure having you on. We're pretty fired up from what I understand. You're not too happy with the way this has played out as well.
It's insane. It's insane that it's being done in the public setting that it has. Look, to me, if the two sides have won a hope of playing at least some part of this season, that what they need to do is to come up with a group of people who basically run down a checklist of things that need to be addressed about players' health, about testing, salary, and how you split that, all the possible complications that are going to come up in terms of player transactions. What do you do if you get one positive or a group of positive in a current group? And you just work through that behind closed doors privately. For this to, sort of be the old school negotiations come spilling out in the current context with tens of millions of people losing their jobs, thousands of people losing their lives, the economy wrecked, the idea of players and owners haggling over money that's available to them if they can figure it out and get back on the field is insane. I don't know who it helps. On the owner's side, we sort of the old school approach of leaking out the details ahead before he actually gave the proposal to the players. Why would you do that? Go and meet with the players directly. The player leadership, hand them the proposal before it leaks out. And on the player's side, I don't know how it helps the players for Tony Clark, for Scott Boras to be out there making statements about it. I we saw what happened in 94, 95 during the players' strike. When the players, by the way, completely were in the right, they held the high ground, and yet, as Tom Glavine and others would tell you, they got pounded by fan reaction, and the context of that situation to where we are now is not even close. The players are going to be damaged by all this public conversation. The product is going to be damaged, and I don't get it.
Well, as we've said, you can survive shooting feathers off the golden goose. It can't survive a shot to the heart, and that's what this one might be. I'm also on record as saying the 94-95 situation will look like a bar mitzvah, an actual celebration compared to what could happen this time around. And I don't think there's a recovery. I reminded a couple of people the first game back for the Braves. 95, they're going to be a good team. In April, 23,000 people in the building. I'm surprised it was that many, but I guarantee you we heard for years, don't watch it, don't have any interest, because they burned me. I don't care if you put your arm around each other when you come out of the bloody room that you're supposed to be in behind closed doors, but you better fake smile and say you did it for the fans. You knew that this was important for the country. Anything short of that is a total failure and might be a disaster.
I agree with you. Look, we've heard so much about how Major League Baseball is trying to connect with the youngest generation of fans, people like my 15-year-old son who's a Braves fan, and to convince him to watch. The way that this is being handled now, forget the youngest generations. You're going to lose parts of the older generations' anger because of what they're watching. This thing is so complicated and so fragile, and, one burst of positive tests could wind up sinking the whole thing anyway, derailing it. Just the medical concerns, the safety concerns, the players with underlying health conditions, all those things could take it off course. And it might be that the two sides can't find ground. But do it all. Play that all out behind closed doors. And if in the end the mutual decision is, look, these terms are not acceptable to us, and that conversation, again, happening in private, and you come out, Tony Clark on one side and Rob Manfred on the other, and said, look, this is so complicated. There are a lot of things we just simply could not work through, and so we're focused on 2021. But do not let the public see how the sausage is being made in this current situation. It does nothing but hurt them all.
Buster Olney from ESPN with us on the Truist Newsmaker line. Science aside, do you think cooler heads can prevail? Can something get done?
If they continue with the old school style of negotiating, which is, one side is in a trench and the other side is in a trench and they're lobbing PR shells at each other. No, I don't, because I do think it's so complicated that they really need to work together. The comparison I've been making in recent weeks is we got to think of Major League Baseball like the Apollo, you know, that you guys saw the movie Apollo 13. The craft is drifting in space. And, you know, the original mission to have a full season, that's obsolete. And the only question now is, can they land it? And they have to figure out a way through their imagination and, you know, and working together and a sense of fairness to get back. Instead, what we have is the two sides are fighting over who gets to sit by the window. Unless that dynamic changes, and unless we, what we saw yesterday in the way the two sides are handling things, I don't think they'll figure it out.
Well, Buster, here's the other problem, and I'm not telling you that I know who could do it or who should do it, but there's never been a consideration to bring anybody else in the room, let's say a third party that has the fan interest. And I'm sorry, look, I don't know if good commissioner, bad commissioner, everybody in the course of time will sort of figure out what they thought about every guy's tenure. But the commissioner of baseball is supposed to be the commissioner of baseball. He's not supposed to work for the owners. I have a problem with that. And moments like this, it comes screaming through why that's a problem. There's no fan element in that room. There's nobody to clunk their heads together and say, hey, fellas, let me give you a piece of reality. I don't know who it could be or should be. I don't even know if they'll let him in the room. But the idea that they've never asked, the idea that they've never brought in an outside third-party set of eyes to go, hey, what are we really looking at here?
Right.
Is amazing to me that they've gotten away with not having to do that. This time, I think it's a kill shot. I think it goes right through the heart.
I would disagree with you about the commissioner's role. I think after Faye Vinson, part of it, you know, that essentially the commissioner acts on behalf of the fans, I think that was gone once Bud Selig took over. And now Bud and Rob, and I don't mean this as a criticism. I mean it just in terms of pure practicality, they are paid by the owners.
Well, that's the
point.
They
are the front man. They are the front man.
But Buster, he's the commissioner of baseball. The third prong to all of this is the fans, and it's never
right.
The guy at the top of the pyramid is supposed to consider all. I know what the job is. I just don't understand how the element of the fan voice has never been something it seems has been a consideration.
Yeah, and I hear you. I do think that what needs to happen is the two sides need to identify a group of people who can work together. You know, I think of Andrew Miller of the Cardinals reliever. He's on the executive committee. Chris Iannetta. You know, we saw Sean Doolittle yesterday, the Washington Nationals, send out a lot of concerns about health on Twitter. On ownership side, I know Chris Young, the former player working in the commissioner's office, he has someone who has a lot of respect. Get those people into a room and run through a checklist and solve the issues, or determine together, you know what, we can't work through these, and so we should focus on 2021. But to do it the way they're doing it, in this old-school negotiating style, and talking about salary cap, which is just insane, I think just hurts them all.
So if this does get settled, by the way, we're talking with Buster Olney from ESPN on the Truist Newsmaker line. We're talking about an 82-game season. We're talking about expanded playoffs. We're talking about a universal DH. From a baseball perspective, what are your thoughts? Should the season play itself out the way we think it might?
I think they are smart with their 82-game proposal to not potentially overreach, because we've heard, you know, the information from Dr. Fauci and others that in the fall that this may all spring up again. And if that's the case, then it probably is an overreach to look to play games in November and look to deep into November and early December. So I think it's probably smart to say, hey, you know what, if we have 3 months, let's play 82 games in 3 months. We'll have a playoffs. We'll do a rapid fire, 14 teams in. I like the universal DH given the injury risks are going to be there for the pitchers to move forward. I think that part of the proposal is okay, but of course those are the least complicated
right.
aspects of all this.
Yeah, by the way, the extra playoff money, because that's going to be a deal on good faith, because that deal's not going to get done as quickly as both sides are going to really want. How much money is in it for the extra round of playoffs? What does playoff money actually look like this year? I'm sorry, look, they don't have to like each other, but they need to trust each other a little bit more. Can you actually see a deal being done with a blank check? Like, we don't know what the number's going to be, but don't worry, we'll figure it out later.
I, after seeing how yesterday played out, I was more skeptical than I've ever been that they're actually going to be able to play this year. Because I had really hoped, after talking with a lot of player agents, quietly, privately, because they don't want to be out in the public eye, that, you know what, they'll get a group of moderates into the room,
right.
And the moderates will collaboratively figure out a way to fairly conduct a season. And so far, there's no sign of that. And I don't think the communication's been good on either side. I'll give you one example. To date, there has not been a conference call between Commissioner Rob Manfred and general managers. There have been three with the managers, but as you guys know, the people who hold practical power in baseball operations departments are the general managers. There are all these different questions that have popped up. What do you do if a player tests positive, if he's traded? Do the assets go back? What happens if the season is derailed? Are trades reversed? All those things, those questions have not been answered, and I quite frankly don't understand why there hasn't been more communication to war games this all out and try to come up with the appropriate questions.
And Buster, even if you don't, as Rob Manfred, during the conversation have the answers, at least you know what some of the questions are, and you can say, I'll get back to you. Worst case scenario.
100%. You know, you have all these smart people on both sides who, let's face it, there's a lot of time available to all of us right now, and allow them. I over the last 6 weeks, I think there should have been a lot of those conversations happening to try to come up, again, create the checklist, work through all the potential complications so it can be fair and equitable and safe for everybody involved.
You know, whether the experimentation of a universal DH, if we actually see it, some of the other things that we're talking about, because you have an ability to experiment now. I know the next collective bargaining agreement is a lot closer now, and it feels a lot closer than maybe it did last year. If you walk away from this one even more contentious than you've been in the past, that idea of trying to get in a room and be, you know, have common sense prevail, that's the other part. Look, I don't want to get into the future because we're just trying to deal with what's the present. But if you think this is going to bode well for actual labor peace coming up, there's no chance it makes this thing look any better.
It's going to make it worse, the chances of labor peace going in the future worse, because I know on the ownership side, you know, they've had frustrations with Tony Clark and the leadership in recent years. On the player side, they're going to feel like that they were not negotiated with in good faith, and the trenches on both sides would only get deeper.
Let me ask you, did Tony Clark have to go to the salary cap? Did he really need to just bring up salary cap like this is what it feels like?
I agree with you, because it's a one-time fix for a unique situation for 1 year. It's not as if this what's being proposed by the owners for this year would extend it to 21 and beyond. And that's why when I saw that, I'm like, no, that is not the type of rhetoric that's needed in this current situation. They're just – you have a number of small market teams who have their concerns about actually being able to afford their payroll. Because they don't have the resources of teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers. And again, all of this I would have hoped would have been being talked about in recent weeks in private, out of the sight of the public, because it is ugly.
Well, it's a mess that hopefully gets cleaned up. Buster, we know you're busy. Thanks for squeezing us in this Tuesday morning.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Buster.
Buster Olney on the Truist Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.